Hare Krishna. Welcome back. We have repeat people. That's a good sign. And we have new people. We have a Prabhupada original, Mother Arundhati. Joined in 67, yeah?
I joined in 68, but I did see Prabhupada for the first time in 66.
Wow. In New York City, yeah.
In the park.
Wow. Okay. So, just like in the afternoon session yesterday, we had that slide of Prabhupada wearing the garland of New Vrindavan in 72, and I said, I know who made that garland. It was somebody in our first, in our morning class, so we have primary sources. Okay, so yesterday was one and two, it was introductions, needs, norms, and then we looked at what a guru is, why we need a guru, how the guru is one, how the guru is different. Did anything we say yesterday stick in your consciousness? Because we left a lot of things, unresolved, purposely. And today, hopefully, we'll resolve them. Because we looked at Guru Tattva and how it's traditionally done and understood. And then, of course, we have ISKCON's history. And we're needing to get more in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra and tradition, how it actually works traditionally. Gita Nagari Prabhu.
I was going to make a comment if you let me. That according to Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are three tattvas out of all the tattvas, there are three tattvas that are the most difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. And he said, Shiva tattva is very difficult to understand. Dham tattva is very difficult to understand. And he also says Guru tattva is one of the big three tattvas that are the most difficult to understand. Just something throwing out there.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable, but appreciable and ultimately sensible. But yeah, it's confidential. You're right. Sakshadharite. So today what we're going to do is hopefully tie up a lot of loose ends by looking at the founder Acharya, which is a category of guru, and then how Prabhupada exemplified and embodied founder Acharya to an unprecedented degree, at least to anyone's memory or recollection or study. Okay, so here we go. And who was that again? Srila Vyasadeva, as given to us by Google Images, minus the Himalayas, minus Ganeshji, but... Yeah. Okay, so let's go. Okay, so the first part of the lesson is... Oh, this is not... Takes a little while. There we go. What is a founder Acharya? So I'll tell you something, and maybe you have shared this experience. For years, I thought that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually coined the phrase. Because as we know, the Thakur, is that all right? Good enough? We have to strike a balance of filming and resolution for slides. So the Thakur, as we know, was the first person to preach in English. First, authentic Vaishnav to reach out beyond the borders of Bharatvarsh and preach in English. So, founder Acharya is a hybrid, founder English, Acharya Sanskrit. So, the Thakur writing in English and Sanskrit and Hindi and Bengali, I just ASSUME, assumed that he was the one that coined it. And then that assumption was reinforced by some of our own ISKCON sadhus, leaders. Because here is the place where you can find on your database, if you have the database, where the Thakur has been translated as using the phrase in his Harinama Chintamani. So, let's see. I'll just read this. Okay. It appears, first of all, in 1989, in a Vyasa Puja offering. Those Vyasa Pujas, they're just a gold mine of information and exaltation and so many things. We have Jai Bhattaka Maharaj quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur in a verse. Sampradaya radigur. Anyway, I'm going to try to read this, all of the Sanskrit, but there's three Sanskrit words in the verse that come close to founder Acharya. Adiguru, Sampradaya Acharya, and Shikshaguru Pratishtha. And here's how Maharaj translates the verse. Quote, in the disciplic succession of Vaishnavas, the previous Acharyas are established respectfully as Shikshagurus for the Sampradaya. However, the founder Acharya, or original guru of a disciplic succession, is appropriately worshipped and respected as the crown jewel, topmost of the spiritual masters. His perfect philosophical conclusions are to be followed by all in the Sampradaya. Any contrary instructions will not be accepted. His orders are to be carefully carried out, and initiation is not to be taken from another succession. Well, as it turns out, what the Thakur is referring to are the what a later scholar referred to as the prehistoric teachers. He's referring to the originators of the Sampradayas. Who were the four originators? Mahamabhu, the four Sampradayas.
Sri,
Lakshmi. Well, let's see if anybody else?
Kumara.
Madhva? No, he's later on. He's in Kali Yuga. Who's the originator?
Brahma.
Did you say Brahma?
I said Brahma.
You said Brahma. Well, let's raise our hands. Be civilized.
Lord Shiva?
Kumaras, yeah. So there's four disciplic successions coming from those people. That's actually what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is referring to. However, we have in 1999, fast forward 10 years later, we have this exegesis, scriptural interpretation by Shiva Ramaswamy in his nice book, The Shikshaguru. It was a welcome addition to the discussion. Guru Tattva. Quote, we can assert with little controversy that Srila Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya Viskan, okay, and as a branch of Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya, he can also be called its Adi Guru. So the phrase Adi Guru already appeared in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Harinama Chintamani, referring to the original, you know, preceptors. But Shiva Ramaswamy is making this kind of extrapolation and saying, because Prabhupada's the Adi Guru of ISKCON, the ISKCON branch, therefore, he says, in this way, we can equate the Adi Guru, the original prehistoric preceptors, and founder Acharya in relation to Srila Prabhupada, as per Bhaktivinoda's writings. Now, believe it or not, Maharaj isn't speculating here. I mean, it sounds nice, but is it really true? So, we have something else, other, even more, you'd say, powerful praman here. Let's see who can read this. Well, am I going to put this? Okay, I'll say a few words first before I reveal the rest. The actual first time the phrase is written, is coined, appears in the 1930s during the Gaudiya Mutt mission. And we know this because of the research Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has done to write his paper called Srila Prabhupada, The Position of Srila Prabhupada. He started digging around and he found out, lo and behold, that in 1930, in the Harmonist magazine, June issue, there was two editors. One was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, and his co-editor was a very scholarly disciple of his named Narayan Das, and Saraswati Thakur called him Bhakti Sudhakar. Do you know any Sanskrit people here? Anyway, he gave him a title too. They were very close in editing and writing like that. So Bhakti Sudhakar Narayan Das, whose birth name was Professor, well, not at birth, but Nishikant Sanyal. Does that ring a bell? Sanyal?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Rajendranandana Prabhu. Where did you hear that?
Indeed, the Acharya that appointed an email.
No. Well, he was in the fray there, but before, when he was on the mark, get set, go, what was he doing? Do you know? Okay. So, Saraswati Thakur, as you know, he spread the Gaudiya mission all over India, all over Bharatvarsh. And then, he was very ambitious to take up the order of his father, his, you know, Nityasiddha father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to take the message out of India, to start this Prithivichayatiyata Nagaradi Gram to every town and village. So, Saraswati Thakur wanted some of his leading sannyasis to go to Europe and preach, but before he would send them, he insisted that they must have a book. They must take some ammunition. Sound familiar? Later on, the Srila Prabhupada. So he commissioned his scholarly disciple, Nishikant Sanyal, was a history professor at a college in India, and they worked on the Harmonist. The Harmonist was the English language reincarnation of Sajjana Toshini that the Thakur started in the 19th century. And so he commissioned his disciple to write about Lord Chaitanya, his life and his teachings. So Sanyal, what he did was, he started a trilogy called Sri Chaitanya's Teachings. Did you ever see that in the giant? Does that ring a bell? There was a book, when I joined in Boston. Well, that's what Prabhupada did later. But Sri Chaitanya. Yeah, it's kind of big. And Prabhupada said it was bona fide. And even excerpts appeared in Back to Godhead. Anyway, so this is where you find the phrase founder of Acharya for the first time. Not in the book, actually, in the Harmonist. Here's. Okay. Yeah, this is from the book. Okay. Arundhati, could you read that? Can you?
The systems of Shri Vishnu Swami, Shri Nimba Ditya, Shri Ramanuja, and Shri Madhva are connected with the ancient times by the recognition of the ulterior authority of the eternal ancient teachers, viz. Lakshmi, Brahma, Rudra, and the four sannyas, Chati, Sanna, respectively. The four Acharyas of the Iron Age professed to preach the views of these original teachers of their religion.
Okay, so this is where Sanyal is identifying the especially empowered preachers in Kali Yuga that we know, you know, Madhva, Ramanuja. Who are the others? I always mix them up. Nimbarka.
Vishnu Swami.
Yeah, okay, good. As being pure representatives of the Adi Gurus of the Samadhar Sampradayas. So he uses the phrase founder Acharya. Let's see, there we go. Okay. All right, and also in the Harmonist, Saraswati Thakur is referred to sometimes as the president Acharya and also as the founder Acharya. Saraswati Thakur never actually called himself that, but he allowed himself to be referred to that in that way by his disciples in rare cases. So we can't help but think that this is where Prabhupada, you know, got the phrase from the authorized coinage of Saraswati Thakur and Professor Sanyal. They were like this. They worked hand in hand on publications. Okay, so founder Acharya, let's take a little more look here. Yes, Prabhu.
I just read last night a story in which Prabhupada received a letter from a temple, and on the letterhead, it had ISKCON, and I think it said Acharya, E.C. Bhaktivedanta, and Prabhupada wrote them and said, throw away your letterheads and put founder Acharya. So,
yeah.
So could you explain why Prabhupada did that? Because just now you said Bhaktisiddhanta didn't demand that. He allowed it, where Prabhupada demanded it.
Okay. Yeah, that's coming up. You're a little ahead.
Okay.
But that's very important. Yeah, we're going to get to that. in the next lesson, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya. Yeah, that's very, very important. Okay, but thanks for bringing it up, because it's in, probably in half the people's minds here. So, okay, so, all right, let's just stop having a drawing and go to the next. Any questions about that? So, found, like, for example, well, we'll get this toward the end of this lesson. But, okay, so what are the characteristics of a founder acharya? Okay, so let's look at that. And you might recognize these because they appeared in Prabhupada's 1996 centennial Vyasa Puja book, which was kind of a landmark, not kind of, it was a landmark year in ISKCON. And it was a landmark Vyasa Puja book because it was big. Remember the green kind of marble design on the cover? And it was kind of a, it was like a real breath of fresh air, you know, after the dark ages of Zonal Acharya. And then finally you get a Vyasa Puja book worthy of our founder Acharya. So in the wonderful introduction written by Lokanath Maharaj, he was citing evidence from Shastra of what a founder Acharya is. And here is some of the evidence. Mahamaya Maharaji, could you read the first one?
Udarmika, savior of everyone, assisted by Upakarika, the masters who succeed him to execute his mission.
Okay, Sri Prapanamrita Tapana, that's a Shastra from our sister Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya. And this is one way that they say you can distinguish a regular guru from a founder Acharya. This is how powerful the founder Acharya is. He's not just capable of saving some people, but he's a Jagat Guru. He's capable of saving everyone. He's a Prabhupada. He's a master at whose feet all masters sit. So he's super powerful. And those who come after him, so he's called Udarika. Those who come after him, they are his assistants. And, you know, the big mistake of the Zonal Acharya era was that somehow in our immaturity, or some people's immaturity, they were thinking, or we were thinking, in our ignorance, that to succeed Prabhupada in time meant somehow to succeed him in importance, to replace him in importance. Woo! Major gaffe. Which Arundhati's husband, Prajumna Prabhu, predicted point for point what would happen if we persist in this misunderstanding. And then 21 years later, you know, better late than never, better never late, the GBC, after the whole debacle of the Zonal Acharya, apologized. I think indirectly, not even directly, but yeah. So anyway, this is what happens when we don't, we have a poor fund of knowledge and we're still understanding Guru Tattva, as Gita Nagari pointed out, it's not easily understood. We're still unpacking all of its ramifications. So that's one symptom of a founder acharya. He's a super guru. Okay, Mahatma Prabhu, can you read that?
Dinabhaya removes the fear of all fallen souls.
Again, all fallen souls. He's not, you know, it's glorious enough to be a regular guru, but he can remove anybody's fear. And of course, as we read these, we naturally think of Srila Prabhupada. We're going to get to that in the next lesson. All right. Can you read that, Lakshmi Priya Bhattaji? Can you see that?
Right.
Mahagrantha.
Grantha. Grantha, great books, preparing Vaishnava songs and Shastras.
Right, not just Shastras, but songs. Why is that? Why not only Shastras, but songs? What's so special about songs? I'm talking to a singer here.
They speak people's language. They get in your heart. They're easy to understand.
Right.
You could sing them. Remember Shriya, them by singing.
Sriya kanta kanta what am I saying? Sriya kanta kanta kalpata. How does it go? In the spiritual world, it says in the Brahma Samhita, every step is a dance, all speech is song. So music, actually, in its full, in its what highest form, gives us a glimpse of the spiritual world. This is where we come from. We come from a place where every step is a dance, all speech is song. And the flute is the favorite attendant. Okay, so he really pays great attention to songs too. Alright? Harakanta Manaji. Can you read?
His name becomes identified with the sacred word of God.
Right. One time I was distributing Back to Godhead in Forbes Avenue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 1972. Anybody ever been to Pittsburgh?
Yes.
It's a real Kali Yuga. It's the Iron City. I mean, back then, even before their so-called Renaissance of Pittsburgh scene, yeah, it's a real, well, you know, Iron City. Iron City beer, right? That's Kali Yuga.
I used to haul some of that iron.
You admit to that. Okay, you're on. He's Brahmin. He admits to that. Okay, so, I was distributing BTGs, and I had... In those days, the editorial policy was Prabhupada's picture was on the inside cover. So I handed a BTG to this gentleman, and he opened up the page and he said, Is that Hare Krishna? So I said, I had to make a real quick call here. Am I gonna launch into a theological explanation of Sakshat Hari Tve Nasam? Where I'm going to give him an answer he can relate to. So I said, yeah, that's Hare Krishna. Sakshat Hare Tve, that was a good start, you know. So, alright, now from the Harinama Chintamani. Now, because not only Jatadukha Maharaj, but Shivaram Swami and Bhanu Maharaj and Professor Sanyal say that founder Acharya in Kali Yuga are pure, transparent representatives of the Adi Gurus, you know, Siksha, Pratishtha, Gurus. Therefore, I have used Harinama Chintamani as pramana, as evidence also of what the founder Acharya is, because the Thakur appears to conflate or fuse or blend the qualifications for both. That was a horrible sentence, but anyway. Alright. Possesses great spiritual strength. Jai. Super. Again, he's super. He's a super guru. Like if you go to Udupi, who's the... Udupi? Yeah, Udupi is the seat of Madhva. This is we're in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya, ISKCON branch. So Madhva's outside the mutt. He's in full Padmasan, and he's like this. And what does this mean? Peace, brother. There you go. Shuddha Dvaita. He's on a real crusade to smash Mayavad. There is a difference between soul and super soul. Ramanuja, a couple of centuries before, he was a transition from Advaita to Shuddha Dvaita. He was presenting Vishishta Dvaita. There is a qualitative oneness, but there's a quantitative difference. Mud was even more heavy, like that. So he possesses great spiritual strength, the founder of Acharya. Alright? Yadarani, you want to read the next?
His teachings supersede all others. His teachings supersede all others and are compulsory for his followers.
His teachings supersede all others and are compulsory for his followers. Okay.
Can you explain the word supersede?
Yeah, they overtake anything that's been said. Just like Ramanuja.
Like, let's say we have a certain philosophical understanding that's been passed down, and then the founder Acharya says something that throws us for a loop. And we're trying, and we go to Shastra, and it's the pure Shastra doesn't exactly say it that way. So you're saying we say this is his contribution? Is that how we're
looking? Yeah, what a founder, Richard. He's so powerful, and he's so empowered by dint of his power, his surrender, that he takes the Sampradaya in a different direction. Just like Madhva, he took that Brahma Sampradaya into a crusade against Mayavad in such a powerful way that whatever was going on in the Brahma Sampradaya is now refocused in the Kali Yuga to smash Mayavad. He was on a crusade against Shankara. So, and Srimali Ramanuja and the Sri, it's described in their literature, in the Sri literature, that Lakshmiji, she especially empowered Ramanuja to preach strongly in the Kali Yuga, you know, this Vishishta Dvaita. The founder Acharya is, we're going to get into this more. Yesterday, we even talked about how we see everything through the lens of our founder Acharya. Just like in Bhagavatam, who knows what the Jiva Goswami says, we have to see all verses in the Bhagavatam through this one verse. It's called the Paribhasa Sutra. Anybody know? Yes. Ete chamsa kalapum sa krishnas tu bhagavan svayam indrarim yakudam lokam hridayanti yuge yuge. All the other incarnations listed in that chapter, they are either portions, or either plenary portions, or parts of the plenary portions of the Supreme Lord. But the incarnation listed as Krishna, Krishna's too, Bhagavan Svayam. So Jiva says, we have to see all the other 17,999 verses in the Bhagavatam through the lens of that verse. And then we know Bhagavatam. Okay, yes.
Similarly. I'm a little confused here. You said the word founder Acharya appeared in 1930 first. This Shastra, Avanamrita Tapanam, apparently appeared before that. So, what is it exactly defining? It's not using the terminology founder Acharya. Is it defining what do they call it, Mahaguru or what is it?
Yeah, I'm not that much of a scholar that I can know how it equates. I mean, this is an example of a Vedic Shastra, we could say, or a Vaishnav Shastra, and then I was just trying to bring it down to Gaudiya, but my research didn't go that deep. It's a good question.
But you're using it to define founder Acharya.
Yeah, this is. In other words, these are symptoms of, in the introduction to the Vyasa Puja book that year, Lokanath Maharaj said this means founder Acharya.
So then someone like Ramanujacharya may have not been called technically in Sanskrit founder Acharya, but you're saying it's the same principle, whatever
yeah,
you call it.
Yeah, and okay, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was writing about those prehistoric preceptors. He uses three phrases, Pratishta, Adi, and Sangstapaka. Okay, but he didn't actually coin the phrase founder Acharya, but others have identified those symptoms as belonging to founder Acharya. So we're using that.
Yeah. Okay. I got it.
Okay. So.
Sorry. Can I just ask?
Yes.
Is that okay if you ask as you go along?
Yeah, as long as you raise your hand, and then you can knock on the chair if I don't see your hand. Yes, go ahead. You're on camera.
I was just thinking, recently you've just used Papa's disciples to establish something about the founder of China.
Yeah.
ISKCON history shows that we have been known to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Right, so how can we have absolute faith in their exegesis, right?
Why can't we use the founder of China to prove or to show what a
Prabhupada
Acharya is?
Prabhupada's life?
Acharya, Srila Prabhupada himself.
That's the next lesson.
To establish what is the Prabhupada.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. First, we're establishing the principle, the symptoms, what it is, we're defining it, we're giving symptoms. In the next lesson, we're going to show how Prabhupada embodied the principle and the definition to an unprecedented degree. Is that all right?
Not really. I was like asking, we're almost, sorry to say if it's offensive, I don't mean to be, we're also almost using impure sources.
No, no, but what at the end of that list, I said this is completely compatible with what Professor Sanyal wrote and Bhaktisiddhanta collaborated with him on in Sri Krishna Chaitanya, his teachings. So Professor Sanyal already made that equation with Adi Guru and founder Acharya. He said that when you describe those, either one, when you're describing the Adi Guru, you're also talking about the founder Acharya for Kali Yuga. So what are ISKCON sadhus, conflated, fused, blended? This is what Professor Sanyal and Bhaktisiddhanta, because they were collaborating on that book. Before Siddhanta Saraswati let that book go with those sannyasis in 1933 to go across the ocean, he personally spent 2 months editing it. So it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who approved that interpretation of his. He might have even half written it, because you find in here's the source. Bhakti Vikas Swami is talking through his research about the history of the Gaudiya Math people going there. And this is what he discovered in his research. Now, you're going to say, well, who's Bhakti Vikas Swami? Well, that goes on and on and on and on.
That's what I'm saying. So instead, why not use the pure founder that we know?
You mean Prabhupada?
Prabhupada to establish.
That's what we're going to do next lesson. We're going to talk about it. Well, you said, okay, then we're not talking. Well, Prabhupada didn't actually talk that much about the history of founder Acharya. I'd have to go into the database for stars to see how much he even talked about the history. I don't even know if he did. But he appears to have taken the phrase from the Gaudiya Math. So this is interesting because we're dealing with a devotee who has felt betrayed and burned by so-called authoritative sources, and now he's going to question everything, which is intelligent. But can somebody help me here? I mean, I don't know what to say at this point. The sources are good enough for me, but they're not good enough for you. What to say? You want to help me on this?
You don't throw the baby out with that water?
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure Prabhu knows that. But Prabhu appears to be saying, why don't we just take what Prabhupada said about Founder Acharya, since we're using everything through his lens? I'd have to research more to even.
He didn't say much about it.
Yeah, I don't think he even spoke much about that. Although he did identify himself as being the founder of Acharya ISKCON, he didn't tell us where he got that phrase. I thought he made it up, first of all. And then I started, maybe Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But we have, in Gaudiya literature, we have the phrase appearing. You want to rephrase your question now in light of the last few words of. Wait a minute, let me just ask Prabhu.
No, it's just purely, we know Prabhupada is a pure source.
Yes.
So if the information is there, why aren't we using Prabhupada as a pure source?
Hang on. Prabhu, Bhangra, English, you want how many?
Yes.
Two, three? No, this is a class.
Yeah.
Office. Go down to
office.
Anybody speak
office?
Okay, straighten it out, please. Okay, before we go to Gidanagri Prabhu, there are many things that Prabhupada did not elaborate on that we have to, he gave us the, what did he say, the skeleton, the outline, the framework. We have to fill it in. So Bhakti Vikas Swami has done a lot of research in that trilogy. I mean, that is the best research book I've ever read in my life. So we have somebody who's still like this. I don't blame you. I'd still be like that too if I were burned 2 or 3 times. But, so far it's good enough for me. And I've been part of the loyal opposition for 30 years. So I'm with you. But Gita Nagri is going to make a contribution.
I don't know if there's going to be a contribution. I just want to ask a question.
Oh, you're going to ask a question?
Yeah. I was down in Jagannath Puri, and I was at Puri Rathayatra, and I was sitting there, and a Gaudiya Math person came by. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting, a guru, and he was sitting with his disciples. I think he had maybe 10 or 15 disciples.
Yeah.
And running a mat down in Maharashtra. So he handed me his card, you know, he said, if you're ever down in Maharashtra, you can use it as a mat. And I looked at his card and I saw the word, his name, and he said, Founder Acharya. It seems like this word has been appreciated, has been appreciated, has been, that's the wrong word, has been hijacked by a lot of
Depreciated
or hijacked by a lot of the people. Wondering,
even in Srila Prabhupada's time, other people started using founder or Jagat Guru. That's why we have symptoms.
I think the question I ask often versus his question is why, do you understand why Prabhupada insisted on being called Founder Acharya, that may clarify how he was separating himself, from who was he separating? Why? What was his fear? He wasn't the founder of Acharya. Why was he upset?
Yeah.
Why did he think he was being minimized when he wasn't referred to as founder of Acharya? And then that, maybe within that is the answer to his question.
I'm accepting the represented evidence from ISKCON Sannyasis because it was compatible with everything I'd ever heard and read from Srila Prabhupada. Yes.
I was just thinking that like over here it says that his teachings supersede everyone else's.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada made this point that his books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So that kind of matches that Prabhupada's books will be the foundational teachings. Like Prabhupada wanted his disciples to write more and speak
That's
more
right.
than needed, but still his books will remain the foundational teachings for this ISKCON branch.
Yes.
And this
yeah, so we're getting a little ahead. This all comes up more in the next lesson, so maybe it can be cleared up. I mean, it's intelligent to be skeptical, but there comes a point where, you know, we have to let our reason prevail and not just stand pat on skepticism. Ravindra Sarup was walking with Prabhupada in Philadelphia once, and Ravindra said, "What about skepticism, Srila Prabhupada?" "Skepticism, rascalism." Doesn't mean we don't use our intelligence. But, you know, intelligence only goes so far, and then we have to admit the truth of something. So it might take a little more time if you've been sold, as we say in America, sold a bill of goods, you know. Been cheated or betrayed or what have you. Let's just keep going and see what happens and see. Keep making your input. Okay. Oh, so we got. Oop, I got ahead of myself. That's the next lesson. All right. Why don't we go to the next slide? So. Okay. All right. Paul's a unique post. All right. Let's go to. My notes here. Holding a unique post. Yeah, most of it's in the next. It's in the next lesson where this is sort of clarified through the life and teachings of our founder, Acharya. How far do we get down? Hold a unique post.
Yeah. Yes.
Hold a unique post. Okay. And. We'll just read it and make note of it, and then we're going to go more into that when we go to Prabhupada's life. Is the Acharya, or leader, of all Vaishnavas when physically present, awards power of attorney to his followers through adherence to his teachings. Well, there's a big one. Because, in other words, he's so powerful that he's able to empower sincere and serious disciples to continue the teachings. In a transparent way. And as Ravindra Sarup Prabhu said in class, and if he can't do that, he was answering somebody's question. And then Ravindra said, that means he failed. if his books can inspire others to write in a way that's authentic and bona fide and properly representing the Sampradaya, that means he's failed. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was toward the end of his life, discouraged, by the caliber of people that were that he was receiving. He at least did empower this Professor Sanyal to write this book. He wrote two of the three volumes in the trilogy. It was a planned trilogy. And then I think he went off the rails after Bhaktisiddhanta left. Let's, since we're going on this track, let's get right to the next lesson. And, okay, so three past founder acharyas, from most recent to most past. Shivaratri, my dear niece, who is on the far left? Yes, Saraswati Thakur, who did, yes, allow himself to be referred to as founder acharya, and then Prabhu, I forgot your name.
Nararatna,
yes. So, who is that in the middle?
Madhvacharya,
super powerful, lived 70 years. Sometimes he's called the incarnation of the wind god, or Hanuman, like that. And then further back is Arundhati, who's that? There he is, there's the name. So these lines have been going on for hundreds and even now 1,000 years, Ramanuja, because the transparent medium of exchange between all generations of gurus and disciples are their founder acharya. That's their core identity, and that's what they give each other. The life and the teachings of their founder. That's how the line remains intact. And that's what I personally observed when I lived in and around Udupi off and on for 2 years in the 90s. I saw, wow, this is it. This is how we have to do it in this kind. You know, it's all totally Madhva focused. And that's why they're able to have bona fide Shiksha Diksha gurus, because they're so absorbed and immersed in Madhva, in his mood, his mission. So, okay. Yes, Prabhu.
What is Rupa Goswami's position? Is he not a founder acharya? Does a founder acharya need an institution to be called a founder acharya? Because we're all, after what you're telling me, all the Vaishnavas follow in the mind of Rupa.
Sure, we're all Rupanugas. He's our Rasa Acharya. That's his contribution, to get to know the intricacies of Rasa. We follow Rupa. Well, that's similar to something that's going to come up later in the seminar, but I'll just tell you now, because I'll tell it later too. It's good to repeat it. I asked the late, great Gopi Puranadana Prabhu at one point in my research, when he was still with us in June or July, I said, Gopi, who's the deliverer? Is it the Shiksha Guru, the Diksha Guru? Is it the founder Acharya? Who actually is the deliverer? You know, that's always a big point of debate. And so he said, well, I'm in China now. I'm on a train in China, and I don't have all my stuff, you know, that I have in Govardhan. I don't have all the Sandarbhas with me, because he was translating the Sandarbhas, you know, when he left. But I know that if I took this question to Jiva Goswami and looked at all his books, because Jiva Goswami, how many verses did he write? Anybody know? 4 lakh. 400,000 verses. 4 times the Mahabharata, which itself is, you know, 8 times longer than the Iliad and the Odyssey combined. It's said that Jiva Goswami wrote like the wind and never changed a word. The only other person you hear about that in Western is Shakespeare, you know, if it's even true. But anyway, so Gopi said, Jiva Goswami, I know that if I went into different Sandarbhas and researched this question about who the deliverer is, I would not be able to pin him down to one person. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the climactic verse of the Gita, Richard, do you know? This isn't fair. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita yet, Richard?
Yeah, but I'm not that astute
at it. Okay, you're an honest man. All right, Krishna Kripa, please enlighten us. What's the climactic verse of the Bhagavad Gita? That's it. It's not Divi Surya Sahasrasya, if hundreds and thousands of suns were. No, that's what a lot of people think. All right, the universal form, it's all about. No, it's Sarva Dharma. Aham Tvang Sarva Pape Pyo Mokshe Yami. I will deliver you. Krishna, he's the deliverer. He's the guru. He's the Adi guru of everybody. He's Adi Purusha. But how does he deliver us? Through the Sampradaya. through the Shiksha gurus, the Diksha gurus, the Varvapradarsha gurus, the founder Acharyas, the Goswamis. That, therefore, based on that answer, I coined a sentence. It takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka.
To raise a sadhaka?
To raise a sadhaka or a sadhu. If it takes a village to raise a child, right? It takes a sampradaya to raise a sadhaka. And they all have to be transparent. That's what makes it all authentic. If you look at Bhagavad Gita 1875, what does Sanjaya say? Just a few verses before the end. Vyasa prasadat chutavan etat guhyam mahamparam. By the mercy of Vyas, by the mercy of Vyas, I have heard this sacred conversation between these two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. So the whole, and then the purport, Prabhupada says, this is the mystery of the disciplic succession. It's transparency. It's transparency. So the more we're transparent to Krishna, the more clearly we represent the previous acharyas, our founder acharya, the more we carry Krishna in the heart and we'll be able to give Krishna. Have you ever read that in the 10th canto, what I call our Hare Krishna Immaculate Conception description of how the meditation of Vasudev, and it was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the heart of Devaki. That's our Immaculate Conception. And in the purport, Prabhupada talks about how one who's carrying Krishna, he can give it to others. If he's really carrying Krishna as he is, tatvata, evam yoveti tatvata, then he's potent to give Krishna, inject Krishna. And because Devaki is fertile, she's ready to receive Krishna, she receives Krishna. So now, as often happens, I forget the original point.
Where were we? I want to rephrase my question.
Oh, you asked the question. Good.
It may be easier to answer this way.
Okay.
We listed all the qualifications of founder acharya. My question is, does everyone who had that qualification, is everyone with that qualification a founder acharya? If not, what distinguishes, because it sounds like you're saying Rupa Goswami isn't a founder acharya. He's like everyone's Siksha guru.
He's a previous acharya, but he's not a founder acharya. Let's stick with what Saraswati Thakur approved with collaborating with Nishikant Sanyal on how these people like Ramanuja and Madhva, are the founder acharyas in Kali Yuga, representing the prehistoric teachers in their line. He says that what makes them founder acharyas is that they have a certain mission. They take the sampradaya in a dynamic, unique direction that's needed for the time. So we're going to get into why Srila Prabhupada had to make the momentous decision of being the most completely surrendered servant of Saraswati Thakur. He had to make the momentous decision of at some point deciding, after trying and trying and trying and trying for years with the Gaudiya Mutt, to start his own branch and declare himself the founder acharya of this unique branch. Let's just go to the lesson, because I think we're frustrating people by not doing that. Let's just go in there and we'll see if we can answer it. Where is Srila Prabhupada there? Anybody know? Raise your hand. The manor, yes. Bhargava Prabhu and Vishakha Mata took so many wonderful pictures. I think it's actually, especially Bhargava. And you got this rare, you know, when the sun shines. Beautiful book was written by Ranchor Prabhu. They got some of those days when Prabhupada was there in 1973. They got sunny days in England. And Bhargava was there with his camera. Bhargava was one of the old ISKCON photographers. And they got Prabhupada in so many beautiful moods. Grave, you know, playful, dignified. Okay, so there's Prabhupada. And now, 1973 at the manor. This was the first year it was in operation. Okay, so we're going to go. Let me just get the new script here. By the way, based on your feedback and the interaction that's going on here. Every time I do this seminar, and especially now in Mayapur, I'm rewriting, you know, reorganizing, reconfiguring the whole presentation, because that's the way it works. You learn from your students, right? Yeah. So, okay. And, you know, this has happened every time so far when I presented. You know, this whole lesson on the founder Acharya, and then we wait until the next lesson. I don't know if I'm going to continue that, because it's too... It's like one lesson, isn't it? But anyway, I'll think about that. Okay, so let's go to... And we'll go to, you know, 10 to 12, and then we'll take a break, so another 20 minutes. Who predicted Srila Prabhupada's advent? Please raise your hand if you can think of, not a Gaudiya Shastra, and we're talking about people now, who? In a Vedic Shastra, there was a prediction of Srila Prabhupada's advent. I'll give you a hint, it's a Purana. You know? That's a Gaudiya, Vedic. You're close. It's a Devi. It's a Devi. Now, she didn't predict. She was complaining. Remember?
I never heard this.
Okay. It appeared again in the same 1996 Vyas Puja book. There's research by some ISKCON scholars dug this up in the Ramavaivarta Purana. There's a conversation between Krishna and Dwarka and... What Devi is nearby? I can't quite see the Devi. Ganga Devi. Who said? You said? Tosi. She's close. Yeah, here's the conversation. Look at this. When I read this, it just amazed me. Well, this is Lokanath Maharaj leading up to the quote from the Shastra. The Brahma Vaivarta Purana describes a conversation that took place in Dwarka between Lord Krishna and Ganga Devi. Speaking on behalf of all the sacred rivers, so Ganga Devi was the spokesperson for all the sacred rivers, they'd come to her and complaining. Ganga Devi expressed her fears at the advent of the age of coral and the imminent departure of the Lord back to the spiritual world. She said, "Oh Lord, we can see that your pastimes are about to end and people are becoming more and more materialistic. You have been very merciful to us. After you leave, however, all the sinful people of Kali Yuga will bathe in our waters and we will become overwhelmed with sinful reactions." Does this ring a bell? Yeah? It's in the Vyas Puja book. Smiling, the Lord replied, let's see. Want to read them? "Be patient," Krishna says, and then he says,
"After 5,000 years, my mantra Upakshaka, worshipper of the holy name, will appear in this world and spread the chanting of my holy name everywhere."
No one ever did that until, guess who? Srila Prabhupada. That's why we have at the last memory on Yadavar Prabhu's DVD series following Srila Prabhupada. Who gave the last memory? Anybody know? Anybody see that series? He's selling the new revised and enlarged edition. He just made it. Yes. You know what happened?
Yeah, it's about he recalls the conversation after Prabhupada's departure.
Now first he said, "Did you know?" Since I have the mic, I'll finish it. This is Ayodhyapati Prabhu, whom we now know as B.B. Govinda Maharaj, who's here. And I just said to him, I said to him during darshan, I said, "Maharaj, this was such a memory." He's very gracious. He was holding on, along with Rudendranandana Prabhu, to Prabhupada's lotus feet. Yeah? And then, there was the whole disappearance, and then around through Vrindavan, and then into the ground at Krishna Balaram Mandir, and there's Ayodhya Pati Prabhu, as we all were, devastated. So out of the blue comes God Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana Krishna Das Babaji. Did you ever meet him?
Yes.
He was famous for walking around with a drum, chanting Hare Krishna, and whenever anybody would ask him, what would he say? Hare Krishna.
And laugh.
He would just laugh. Hare Krishna. So Ayodhya Pati didn't even know that this person could speak English, because he appeared to be kind of a simple, maybe illiterate person. So in perfect English, Babaji Maharaj comes up to Ayodhya Pati with such kindness and compassion and intelligence and says, did you know that your spiritual master is the greatest spiritual master who ever lived? Did you know? This is a Diksha disciple of Araya Vishnu saying this. Did you know this? And what did Ayodhya Pati do? He was too devastated to say anything. So Babaji Maharaj persisted. Do you know why he's the greatest spiritual master who ever lived? Do you know why? Because he did what no previous acharya ever did, what no avatar ever did. He spread Harinam all over the world. So, but it was predicted in Shastra. And we didn't know this. So we're discovering more and more Prabhupada's glories from Shastra. And devotees who maybe aren't liberated, but they're doing it, are digging this stuff up. So we're going to get, we already talked about yesterday, the first lesson we talked about, if there's two kinds of gurus, Prabhupada said. You're liberated, or you're not liberated, but you're following a liberated. So you can act as guru too. Never to imitate. Okay, next one, here we go. Okay, Gaudiya Shastra. Prabhu, you said something before. How was Prabhupada's appearance predicted in Gaudiya Shastra? Do you know? Yes. What did it say? Can you read English? No? Okay. Well, this is Chaitanya Mangala. Let me get the cue here. Alright. So... In another book, this is right from the introduction to the Vyas Puja book. In another book entitled Chaitanya Mangala, it is recorded that Narada Muni, while visiting the spiritual world, this is Lochan Das Thakur who wrote this book, came upon Lord Gauranga. The Lord told him of his mission to destroy the sinful activities of the age of Kali. So Narada Muni, he's concerned, and this is quite a yogi, he can travel anywhere. So he's in the spiritual world, he's in Golok Namdweep, and he's talking to Lord Chaitanya. The Lord told him of his mission to destroy the sinful activities of the age of Kali. With the powerful, this is Lord Chaitanya saying to Narada Muni, quote, with the powerful chopper of Nam Sankirtan, he said, I will cut the hard knots of demoniac desires from the hearts of everyone. And then he says, it says somewhere, maybe you can help me on this, you're not supposed to cross the ocean. It's kind of like what the sadhu is saying in India. You don't go to where the Videshis are, because you're going to get contaminated. And I forgot to give the follow-up to the Mantra Upasaka prediction. Let me just finish that off. Okay. Be patient, after 5,000 years, my mantra Upasaka, worshipper of the holy name, will appear in this world and spread the chanting of my holy name everywhere. Not only in Bharatvarsh, but this is still a quote now from the Ramabhadvarta Purana. Not only in Bharatvarsh, but also all over the world, people will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By this chanting, the whole world will become Eka Varna, one designation, namely Hari Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Hari. And because, and now here's where Krishna turns her complaint, Ganga Devi's complaint, back on her in a perfect move of like rhetorical jujitsu, which Prabhupada did all the time, like in New Vrindavan. You remember this, Mahamaya? In the Bhagavad Dharma discourse, when this hippie journalist from Mother Earth News, long-haired guy from the back, said, if the purpose of Maya is, if the purpose of life is to know Krishna, why is Maya so strong? And without missing a beat, what did Prabhupada say?
Your purpose is
not strong. And we felt those words like, we were right in front of Prabhupada, he was way in the back, and when Prabhupada said, your purpose is not strong, we went, we were blown away. I mean, we were really blown away. And it was, he said it with such finality and such depth that that ended the discourse. There was nothing more to say. Your purpose is not strong. We're like... Anyway, so... So this is what Krishna is now saying to Ganga Devi. He's turning her words back on her. He says... that by this chanting, the whole world will become Ekavarna, one designation. They'll become Hari Bhaktas. And now he says, and because the devotees of Lord Hari are so pure, anyone who contacts them will become purified from sinful reactions. And then he really rubs it in or turns it back on him. He says, these pure devotees will visit Bharatvarsh and purify you. They're complaining, look, they're going to come and dump their pot, their sins, in our waters. And Krishna's saying, no. From my mantra Upasaka, so many pure devotees are going to come back here to India, and they're going to purify you of sinful reactions by bathing in your sacred waters. Amazing. And then Krishna said something to Ganga, which now we're going to recognize. Listen to this. This period of worldwide chanting of Hare Krishna will continue for 10,000 years. This is where Prabhupada got that reference, the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. He didn't tell us of the previous words. This is connected with the prediction of his own appearance. And Maharaj ends the paragraph. This mantra Upasaka is Srila Prabhupada. He himself often said that there will be a period of 10,000 years, a golden age within Kali Yuga, when the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So, 5,000 years on the ascending, we're really just, you know, just beginning. In cosmic time, it's just a blink since Mahaprabhu's been on the earth. So similarly, in this Chaitanya Mangala, who was the military field commander? Who was able to go move freely? And there's a hint of the next, who else predicted Prabhupada's appearance? I think, Gopika, you saw the preview, huh? You saw the ILS thing?
No, you sent him some of the references.
Oh, I'm in class, yeah, I'm always saying these things. Okay, who else? Anybody know? Okay, I'll give you a hint. 19th century. Somebody predicted. Bhaktivinod. Rajendranandana, you win the prize, please read.
The personality will soon appear in order to preach the teachings of Sri Chaitanya and move unrestrictedly all over the whole world.
Right, and he put that in writing. This is in the Sajjana Toshini, you know, the precursor to the Harmonist, in, back in 1885. I always assumed you said it in 1896 for some reason, I guess because I wanted to make it, you know, with Prabhupada's birth year. But he said it further back in 1885. Okay, we're still okay in time. And now we're going to go. Any questions about the Advent? Oh, there's one more. There's one more that I didn't put on the slide, but it's kind of indirect, and it's something that we like to say sometimes of an indirect prediction of Prabhupada's appearance in the Bhagavatam. What am I getting at? Anybody know?
Spiritual evolution.
What's the verse? I mean, you got to know, to make it really authentic, you got to know the Sanskrit word. Gopika. Yeah. Well, that's the next one. Chadbhag.
Okay, Chadbhag is
Chadbhag. Yeah. What are the words? What's the key Sanskrit that gives you a hint of Prabhupada predicting, specifically more than Prabhupada's advent, it's Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Yes. Yes. And here it is. I'll just give you the verse. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc., of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, different than the previous verse. You know, Pilgrimage for Crows, Dime Store Novels, and, you know. It's a different creation, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Prabhupada spends a lot of his purport begging the reader to overlook his learner English. Just overlook, it's not the King's English, I know, but, you know, try to hear the message, because we're not so hung up on the language here. We're concerned with transmitting the techniques, which became one of the purposes of, the first purpose of ISKCON, you know, to systematically educate. That's going to be another lesson. All peoples and the techniques of spiritual life. Prabhupada ends that purport beautifully by saying, "We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society," the ultimate power of positive thinking person is Srila Prabhupada, "we are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is now presented with so many faults. For it is recommended by such an authority as Sri Narada," who no one has a clue about, you know, if they're first reading it, but Prabhupada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. John. Okay, so that's the first person I ever met who pointed that out was Jagadish Prabhu. He would say, "I think Narada Muni is predicting Prabhupada's Bhagavatam." Okay. All right, let's do one more section of the lesson before we break. And how did Lord Chaitanya, this is fun, set the world stage for Srila Prabhupada's advent? Begin with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. This is kind of so obvious you might not want to say it. But. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya, begin to prepare the world for Prabhupada's coming in his own, Lord Chaitanya's own time, Ali Krishna.
By starting the Sankirtan.
Yeah, look at that. You win the prize. You can read. By starting the Sankirtan movement, by igniting a bhakti renaissance, and here is the...
In the 16th century, Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement ignited the bhakti
Renaissance, rebirth. And it was reflected in the West how? There was a renaissance in the West too, but it was material. It was a reflection of what was going on in the East. In 1492, Columbus sailed the blue, you know, we say. He was looking for India. And he found the Bahamas. Anyway, so yeah, Lord Chaitanya came and he started a whole renaissance in traveling through inner space, right? They were looking, you know, throwing off the shackles of a corrupt church. The Westerners, the people in Europe, were exploring Krishna's illusory energy. It all culminated in the Enlightenment. Humanism, man is the measure of all things. But it all started, really, in Mahaprabhu. And so Krishna let us in the West just go for it, you know, going out into the illusory energy. And here we are, you know, 5 centuries later, and we've ruined the air, we're polluting the water, we're polluting the food supply. We've taken materialism to its absurd conclusion, and now, you know, we're realizing we've got to get back to something transcendent, something, some intelligent designer. Did somebody intelligent design this thing? You know? So, okay, that's how Lord Chaitanya jump-started it. He came and did a bhakti renaissance, encouraging people to explore inner space. You know this verse? Anarpita chiring chirat kurudaya vatir nakkalo samarpayatungarato jvalarasam svabhakti shriyam hari purata sundara dutikadambasanti pitaha sadharaniya kandare spuratu vakshachi nandana. Translation? May that Lord, this is the fourth verse of Adi Lila, in the whole darn text. May that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Shachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. This is exploring inner space. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali to deliver what no incarnation ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant spiritual knowledge of the mellow taste of his service, specifically conjugal love. So that's what Krishna did as Krishna Chaitanya 5 centuries ago. Next step. Let's just... Prabhu, you want to read the next?
In the 19th century, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived Mahaprabhu's pure teachings and envisioned the worldwide movement of Krishna consciousness.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Superman. You know, he's four. He's another, you know, super guru. Not technically the founder of Acharya of an institution. He knew he didn't have time to do that. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. That's the next step. But, you know, he not only restored bhakti to respectability, he started reaching out across the seas. He sent his book, the year of Prabhupada's birth, to Montreal, McGill University, Sri Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. He had correspondence with the American Transcendentalists. Did you know that? Emerson and Thoreau. I didn't know that. He wrote in a very popular European poetic meter that the British and even our Emily Dickinson in America used this meter for. Here's an example. Alas for those who spend their days
infested with joy, the dazzling, deadly liquid forms their hearts fair and employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes, for other hearts embrace.
The slaves of wine
can never rise from what they call disgrace.
Oh, so this, it traces. It's a mini poetic journey through Jiva Dharma. It traces the fall of the jiva, and then the redemption of the jiva, and then it beautifully... How does it end? Oh, Saragrahi Vaishnav soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan, let spirit's power declare. There rest my soul from matter free in my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. And he used this meter that was so popular by the European poets for ballad poetry. And he did it better than they did. He put Krishna, the one, in front of all the beautiful zeros. So, the Thakur. And then he prayed for a ray of Vishnu, and guess what? Mahaprabhu, you want to read?
In the early 20th century, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Gaudiya mission spread Krishna consciousness throughout India and sent the first Vaishnava preachers to Europe.
You've heard the recording. I hope you have. Prabhupada's on his Guru Maharaj's appearance or disappearance day in L.A. And it's beautiful. Who knew I would come to my Guru Maharaj? Who knew I would come to your country? Who knew you would come to me? These are all the arrangements of Krishna. So that's the next one. So these are all Lord Chaitanya setting the stage. Arundhati, Manaji.
In the 1960s, when our Srila Prabhupada sailed west, the USA relaxed its Asian immigration laws. The Vatican relaxed its attitude toward other religious teachings. And the American counterculture began to look to the east for truth.
Extraordinary arrangements. We always reflect on how Prabhupada could not have come in the 50s. He could not have come later, you know, especially in the 80s when everybody went to sleep again and greed became the norm. He had to send Prabhupada in the 60s and have him preach in the 70s to jumpstart Priti Vita Yacha Yata Nagaradi Gram. He had to send three super gurus in a row, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Saraswati Thakur, and our Srila Prabhupada, to envision and begin to enact and spread it all over the world. This is all Chris's arrangements. I never met an Indian growing up in America in my life until 1966, when between semesters in college, I met my first Indian man. Because you couldn't get into America if you were from Asia. It must have been a leftover from the Japanese in World War II or something. It was absurdly restrictive. You just never met anybody, you know, from that side of the world. And then right when Prabhupada came in 65, Prabhupada was able to get in because he had sponsorship, and then he was able to extend his visa finally, and then finally get residency because, mystically, the Immigration and Naturalization Service began to relax its immigration laws. This is all the arrangement of Krishna, right? Who knows what happened in the Roman Catholic Church in the 60s? 1961, who convened what? Come on.
I'm just thinking that they...
Vatican II. A very popular pope. Everybody loved Pope John the 23rd. Very sweet, you know, avuncular pope. You know, like Santa Claus or something. Anyway, he convened Vatican II. Now, he unfortunately passed away during Vatican II, when the church was seriously taking a look at its teachings and its policies. And the pope, somebody, not John Paul, but one of the Pauls, or I forget, might have been a pious even. Anyway, he kept it going. And some of the resolutions that came out of Vatican II were rather controversial, but a liberal interpretation of one resolution that relates to this is that the church, for the first time in its history, admitted that God's grace could manifest itself through other traditions, through other teachings. It's not that if you're not a Roman Catholic, you're necessarily going to hell. You know, the sectarianism was relaxed a little bit. So that gave subtle psychological permission for people like Stephen Guarino, who was a young man living in the Lower East Side, to look at other teachings. He was looking at Buddhism. And he became Satsarupa Das, and then he became Prabhupada's biographer. This is no small thing, that people were given subtle psychological permission by this, you know, this is Chris's arrangement, to look at other teachings. And then, of course, the biggest arrangement was that Lord Chaitanya gave Prabhupada something he never had in India, an audience. Somebody who was interested in what he was saying. He had a little bit of audience in Jhansi. I call that the first buds. You know, the first buds. You'll see, we're going to come to a little mini Lilamrita. And people were interested in what the Swami was saying, you know, these university students in Jhansi, but they weren't about to commit and become his disciples because they had careers to think about. And Prabhupada did initiate one person there. What was his name? Acharya Prabhakar. Yeah, and he did a few things for Prabhupada in India. But really, nobody, you know, the government was not interested. Prabhupada tried, just after Indian independence, Prabhupada put an ad in a paper in the Amrita Bazaar Patrika, I believe, Calcutta, for a Gita course. And Prabhupada, this is an example of how Prabhupada was such a transcendental opportunist. He put in the ad, study the Bhagavad Gita and become a real man. Because India finally had thrown off the yoke of the British Raj, so he's appealing, you know, to the Indian male ego. Okay, you're not under the Brits anymore, so study the Bhagavad Gita, be a real man. And the secret ingredient of this Gita course was the Parampara system. It's authentic, it's real, it's actually connected to real Krishna in a real way by real devotees. So, but nobody responded. You know, nobody would give their son. Prabhupada would say, just give me one of your sons and we can start a spiritual revolution. But they were pell-mell, hell-bound to imitate, ape the West. So Prabhupada, or Krishna gave Prabhupada this first audience, you know, the rejects of society, or people who had rejected society. So that was extraordinary. All right, let's break. It's noon. And we're going to go to the next section. How did Prabhupada manifest the symptoms of Founder Acharya? Although he didn't tell us much about where that came from, but he did manifest the symptoms unlimitedly. Okay, see you in 10 minutes, Gayatri, if you need to use the restroom. Haribol.